Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Memorial Day weekend. And I wanted to just stop for just a minute and give God praise for the freedoms that we enjoy in our country. And if you have served in the military in some shape, form, or fashion over the years, would you stand so we can honor your service to the Lord? Anybody here? There's Craig. God bless you, CW. All right. We thank God for our soldiers, amen? And when you think back about Memorial Day, of all the men and women who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms, my heart just melts. And then again, my heart is kind of sad this morning when I think about Memorial Day. You remember after all the tremendous in our country's history, after all the wars and the rumors of wars, do you remember how it was after 9/11? Our churches filled up, the country came together, we were united. You remember that? And every time some crisis has hit our country, that's normally what we do. We pull together, we come together, we unify. And I thank God for our soldiers who have fought the good fight. But I tell you, I'm disturbed. We've had a crisis happen in this country, and we are farther apart now than we were even before the COVID-19. And you know who's behind the division? That's right, it's not the Democrats, it's not the Republicans. I'll tell you who's behind this division. It's Satan. He wants to divide us. Because he can do more damage when he divides. And so I want us to pray this morning that our country could actually come together for the good of the nation and for the good of the country. Wouldn't you love to see that happen again? And see brothers and sisters walking arm in arm and hand in hand? I'd just like to walk hand in hand with anybody right now, you know. But wouldn't it be wonderful? Now, we need a miracle from God because that's what it's going to take. We are so splintered and scattered and divided right now, but God can do anything. Matter of fact, He can do more in a moment than we can do in a lifetime. So let's pray, shall we? Father, on this Memorial Day weekend, we just want to give You praise and give You thanks for the freedoms that You have given this nation. For well over 200 years, God, we've been a great country because You have been the God of this nation. And I want to thank You for the sacrifice our soldiers, our men and women have made over the years so that we might be free today. But most of all, I'm thankful for the sacrifice of Your Son that we might be free. Free indeed. And God, division is not from You. As a matter of fact, Your Son is praying and prayed that we might be one, even as You and the Father are one. And so, Father, please bring our country together. Bring our nation together. Oh, I pray, God, that our leaders in Washington and all across our state capitals, and our county governments and our city governments, that people might come together for the good of the country. And that we would put our biases to the side and that, God, we could be united again. Oh, please, God, I think about my grandchildren today. I want them to grow up in the country that I grew up in 50 years ago. Oh, God, bring us together for the sake of the gospel. I thank You for the churches and the pastors in Montgomery County There is a unity among us, and I thank you for that, and all praise goes, because wherever harmony and unity is, and wherever peace is, that's where Jesus is. So I thank you for what's going on here, but God, in a greater way, I pray for this nation today. Make it so, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you, Laura. All right, we're in Ephesians chapter 1. If you're excited about that, say, amen. All right. Ephesians chapter 1, we're returning to our sermon series on glory in the church, preaching through the book of Ephesians. And bless God, we hadn't even got out of the first chapter yet. So we're gonna do our best. But you know, you just when you get find good stuff like in Ephesians chapter 1, you just have a bad case, I can't help it, and you just got to hit them all. Amen? So if we could one more time, I'm going to be in Ephesians 1, verses 11 through 14. If we could honor God's word by standing to our feet one more time, and if you can't stand, just sit there and honor God's word in your heart. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. In Him, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things, according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee, the earnest, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Derek Simonis, ask God to bless the word this morning. Would you, my brother?
Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the promise that it gives us. But we just want to praise you for all that you are. And thank you for this opportunity to be here and worship you this morning. Thank you for the freedoms that we have for the Calistoga. Lord, thank you for those that have paid the price.
Yes.
Lord, for freedom. Lord, we want to remember that. Lord, thank you for the price that you paid. Lord, for spiritual freedom. Lord, for freedom from sin. Lord, bless for the Cal. Anoint him this morning as he preaches the word to us.
Amen. Please be seated. Now, most of you know, or maybe you don't, and maybe you don't care, and that's okay too, but I grew up at First Baptist Church in Clarksville, Tennessee. And those were some fantastic days. And I remember every single service, we had a call to worship, and it was the same song every Sunday for years. And then they changed it when we finally wound up with another pastor to the offertory time. But the name of that opening song at First Baptist was The Doxology. Remember that one? No. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. When you read through Ephesians chapter 1, 1 through 14, I mean, whoever wrote that song must have been studying this passage of Scripture. It is a trinity of praise to the Trinity. And the Trinity, guys, is some deep stuff. But you see the Trinity all throughout the Scriptures. Our great God is one God in three persons. One God, three personalities. I mean, Genesis 1:26 tells us, let us, capital U, let us make man in our own image. Who's he talking about there? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Great Commission. Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the and the Son. That's right. And then 1 Corinthians 13, and I believe it's verse 14, says that it's kind of a closing prayer. And it may be 2 Corinthians 13, 14. My mind's kind of jumbled up. But anyways, that verse says, here it is, "And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen." And so there it is, 2 Corinthians 13, 14. Thank you, Ellen. And so you see the Trinity in view in the Scriptures. It's all through the Bible. And you say, well, and let me say this too. All these, can I be nice enough and just say, all these ridiculous illustrations that we use to try to explain the Trinity, all of them fail. All of them do. Oh, well, I've heard people say, the Trinity is like, Cal, you're a son, you're a husband, and you're a father. Epic failure when trying to explain the Trinity. Everything falls short. It's like an egg, the shell, the yolk, and the white. Epic failure. I mean, it's like H2O. I've heard them all. Solid, liquid, and a gas. No, you can't explain the Trinity, because if you could, you could explain God. And so you don't have to understand it all. You don't have to explain it all. Just believe it all and give Him praise for it. And so this morning, here's what we're studying. Now, I believe it was three Sundays ago we studied about giving praise to God the Father. Remember, the sermon title, I think, was Glory to God. And then last Sunday, we talked about giving praise to the Son. We talked about the work of the Son of God, and we gave praise to Jesus. And this morning, we're going to give praise to the third person of the Trinity. Praise Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're going to give praise to the Holy Spirit, I should say. Okay? Are y'all with me? Five of you are. Okay? Now, y'all, this isn't 8 o'clock. This is 9:30. This is mid-morning, okay? All right. Let me give you three quick truths on why and how we can praise the Holy Spirit. All right? Here's the first one. We can praise the Spirit of Almighty God, the third person of the Trinity. We can praise the Holy Spirit because He has saved us. Somebody shout, "I'm saved." Well, if you're saved, it's because of the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Anything God's doing in this day and time and in this dispensation is being done through the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, everybody zero in right here at me. Anything that's being done today is being done through the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Look again there at verse 11. It says, "In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." And boy, isn't that some wonderful stuff there? I had trouble with this one. Here it is. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Ellen, I was struggling. I couldn't remember this verse, but here it is. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation." You're not the chosen frozen. God chose y'all. Hallelujah. Where are y'all at this morning? Typical Baptist bunch. All right. "God chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." And so what Ephesians is telling us in chapter 1 and what 2 Thessalonians is telling us is this. When God saved you, the Holy Spirit so orchestrated the events and the circumstances and the situation of your life that you were saved. I was 9 years old. Bless God. 9 years old. I was at a church camp in Montgomery Bell State Park, Bill. There was 100 other campers with us, and I was saved the next night after God really got a hold of my attention at Montgomery Bell State Park. Did I understand everything then that I understand now about my salvation? No. But can I tell you, 54 years later, I still don't understand everything. But can I tell you this? Steinsaltz Bunch, it's still getting better and better and better. Amen. Hallelujah. It must be getting better for this brother over here. It's still getting better. I don't understand it all. But bless God, I give praise to the Spirit because He so orchestrated the events in my life that I got saved, that I came to faith in Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about here. Now, you've got this process going on of salvation here in verses 12 and 13. He says that we first trusted in Christ, and then in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you hear all of that, and then sealed by the Holy Spirit. And so the order of salvation that the Holy Spirit is responsible for is you've got to first hear the truth. You got to hear the truth. The truth about what? The truth about sin, the truth about self, the truth about Satan, the truth about the Savior, the truth about salvation. Now, flip left in your Bible. If you have your Bible, look at Romans 10. This is a powerful verse of Scripture. Look at Romans 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be hope so saved. Shall be maybe saved. I had somebody tell me that I was arrogant because I knew that I was born again and knew that I was saved. That's a promise from the Word of God right there. That's a promise. It's a concrete. You can take it to the bank. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're going to bust that volume again, Ellen. Praise God. So here's the process. Look at verse 14 in Romans 10. He says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? Great question. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? Another great question. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And so do you see this process of salvation? You got to first hear the truth. You got to first hear the Word of God. Now you can hear the Word of God without being saved. That happens every day. People will hear the gospel, they'll hear the truth, they'll hear the word, and yet they don't receive it. They just reject it and walk away from it. But I want to say this, you cannot be saved without the word of truth. You can hear the truth without being saved, but you can't be saved without hearing the truth. And so how does God get the truth to us? Well, oftentimes He'll send and the thing here is not a professional preacher. The word is kerux, which means a herald, a proclaimer, a testifier, a witness, someone who shares the word. That's why we're trying to get the word of God out here at Second Mile Family. We're trying to get the word out to folks. That's why Billy Walker's teaching Sunday school. I mean, that's why we do children's in high school and middle school ministry. We're trying to get the word to people. That's why we have a podcast. Old Paul Swaffer comes in here and operates that. That's why we have online services this morning back here. We're trying to get the word to people. That's why we preach Sunday in and Sunday out. That's why I'm going out to Kenwood here at 11 o'clock to get the word to people, because people need to hear the truth. And then every now and then somebody's sitting there and the events have been so orchestrated by the Holy Spirit, they not only hear the truth, the grace of God reaches down and touches that old boy and gives him the grace to believe the Word of God, places him under conviction for their sin, and then gives them the faith to trust Christ, and they receive Christ by calling on His name. Have you got it? Are you there? Are you with me? So that's the process. You got to hear the truth. And then the Spirit of God is so involved in this thing called salvation. He places that person under conviction. You can't be saved unless you're under conviction about your sin. Because if you don't know you're a sinner, you don't know why you need Jesus. Hello? And then so the word is received. The word is believed, and then the word is received. Believing is receiving. Oh, y'all didn't get that. Maybe they'll get it over here. Believing is receiving. And you know what I'm praying? I'm praying that might happen to somebody right up in here today. I don't care where it happens. I just want to see it happen one more time. Amen? And so we can give the Spirit of God praise because we've been saved. That was a typical Baptist response. Let's give God praise this morning for who He is and what He's done. He saved us. Don't look around. Just give Him praise. We Baptists are so tied up, aren't we? You know what I'm going to do? When we get to the throne room and we're all in praise and you can't even hear yourself think, I'm going to take a look at you and it ain't going to be the praise you got up in here today. It's going to be different up there. Are y'all understanding where I'm going with? All right, so we can give the Spirit praise this morning because He has saved us. But it gets even better. He has sealed us. Say sealed. Woo, look at this. In Him, verse 13. Well, no. Back up to verse 11. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance. What's that about? Look at verse 13. In Him you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also having believed, there it is again. See that process. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, let me just park right here. I don't believe in a second work of grace after salvation. I don't believe that way. Somehow the Holy Spirit, through this thing called hearing the Word, falling under conviction of the Word, believing the Word, receiving the Word by calling on His name, all of that happens in a nanosecond. How fast is that? Quick. And right then, the Holy Spirit comes to take up residence in your life. And He seals us. Seals us. Whew. Well, Brother Cal, what does that look like? I'm so glad you asked. John chapter 3 and verse 5 says that we were born again by the Spirit of Almighty God at salvation. 1 Corinthians 12, 13 says that we were baptized into the body of Christ at salvation. Romans 8, 9 says that we were indwelt by the Spirit of Almighty God at salvation. And Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 says that we were sealed by the Holy Spirit at salvation. And so all of these things are happening together. There's not a second work of grace after you're saved. You get all of the Holy Spirit you're going to get when you get saved. Every bit of it. Now, there are gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And that's another sermon for another time. That's where some of these charismata, some of these other spiritual gifts come from the Holy Spirit. But I believe you get every bit of the Spirit of Jesus when you get saved that you're ever going to get. The problem is, have you turned everything over to Him? Is He the Lord of your life? Is He Lord of every area of your life? Huh? And so, all right, Brother Cal, what does the word sealed mean? Again, I'm so glad you asked. That word sealed means to mark or to tag. Y'all remember that silly game we used to play, Dick, called tag. You're it. And then we got really cool and said, no tag back. You remember that? The Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation marks us, tags us. And there's several things that take place when the Holy Spirit seals us. But it first of all signifies a complete transaction. You know, in order for a law to be passed back in Paul's day, the document had to be signed by the king. Get it? And then what did the king, after he signed that new law, that document, he placed his seal upon that document, putting all the power and authority of the king behind that law, that document. Well, when the Holy Spirit seals us, it signifies a complete transaction is taking place. Saved, sealed, done deal. That you won't find anybody in the Bible that was saved, lost, saved again, lost, saved again. You find him. I believe once you're saved, you're sealed forever. You're his. Which leads me to say this. Not only the sealing of the Holy Spirit not only signifies a completed transaction, it signifies ownership. 2 Timothy, I believe it's 2:19. Yes, 2 Timothy 2:19. Listen to this. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of our Christ depart from iniquity. In other words, God's got your name and he's got your number. God knows you. He's placed his mark in you, in the person of the Holy Spirit. You are his. He owns you. You're his. You're a child of the King. You belong to him. You see where our praise is coming from and going to? And then thirdly, maybe my favorite is the sealing of the Holy Spirit also signifies security. How many of you ladies want to feel safe and secure? There's no one like the Holy Spirit to do that. Look at Revelation chapter 9. Chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 3. Saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And verse 4 says in Revelation 7, and I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Now, what that means is God, in the last days, during the great tribulation period, he is going to save 144,000 young Jewish virgin males for the responsibility of preaching the gospel to the whole globe. Can you imagine 144,000 young Billy Grahams? They're going to get the job done. You know why? Because they've been sealed. They have God's mark on their forehead. They're going to be able to accomplish what God wants them to do. And then when you get over here to Revelation chapter 14, John sees this entire group of people at the throne of God giving praise and worship. Listen, Revelation 14, then I looked and behold, a lamb standing on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written on their foreheads. Whew. John sees them. They've all made it through the great tribulation. All 144,000. They're all there. Not a one of them's been lost because they've been sealed, signed, sealed, and delivered. Yes. Now, your sign, forgive that. What's your sign, you know? Your seal is not on the outside. Ooh, it's on the inside. You've been sealed. And that seal, well, how long does it last, Pastor? Well, I'm glad you ask. Once again, Ephesians 4, verse 30, Ephesians 4:30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Somebody shout amen. Amen. We better not grieve him up in here this morning. By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. How long does that seal last? Until the day of redemption. What day is that? Well, I'm glad you ask again. On the day when you're like Jesus. When you are saved to sin no more. When you are in your glorified state, that's how long. In other words, how long does that seal, how long is it good for? Forever. God didn't save you so you could get lost. You see, the question is not, can God save you for all of eternity? The question is, are you saved? If you're saved. And if you're saved, you've been sealed by the Spirit of Almighty God. And that brings security. I'm a child of the King and blessed. Let me tell you, if you could lose your salvation, your pastor would have lost it a long time ago. But I'm His. He's placed His seal on me. Is anybody getting this? Is there any praise for the Spirit today? Because He has saved us and He has sealed us. But y'all, it gets even better. He satisfies us. That's the third one. Here it is. Look at verse 14. Ephesians 1. He satisfies. Who is the guarantee? I think your King James Bible says there, I'm reading out of the New King James, but doesn't it say earnest? Yes, earnest. Who is the earnest of our inheritance? Until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Now y'all all know what earnest is. Andrew, didn't y'all have to come up with some earnest money? Yeah, Andrew and his bride Melinda, they have just purchased a house that's being built. They've really got faith. They put earnest money down and they can't even see the house yet. Mason Boysaw's building y'all a house. So anyway, in order to, I'm sitting here looking at Dick Littleton. He could tell you all kinds of stories about earnest money, I'm sure. But, and Kathy too. But if you want to buy a house, you need to put a down payment called earnest money. And that is the guarantee of final payment, right? Well, the Holy Spirit is our earnest. He is our guarantee, He is our guarantee of our full inheritance. Now, let me make it real clear. Brittany, you remember my Uncle J.D. down in Birmingham, Alabama? You remember him? Wasn't he crazy? But that cat was, he had more money than you. He had enough money to burn a wet mule. He lived in the Jewish section of Birmingham, right down from Samford University. And he was a dentist in Birmingham for years before he retired. And he was on a cash money basis with everybody. And this cat had more cash than you shake a stick at. And every now and then, he'd bring his boys and my aunt up to our church to visit us in Waynesboro. And I always hoped that Uncle J.D. would bring some of this for the church. Well, he did put some money in the offering plate every time they would come. But I'm thinking, I bet you old J.D.'s going to touch us up when he leaves here. We're going to inherit some of Uncle J.D.'s wrong again. But let's just say one of your rich uncles left you his entire estate. And somebody walked up to you and said, Scott, your uncle's dead. He's gone. But bless God, he's left you his entire estate. Here's a $14 million check as payment and promise and pledge that the entire estate, you're going to inherit every bit of it. And here's $14 million just, you're not going to just do that. You know what I'm saying? Well, that's what the Holy Spirit is. He is the guarantee of all that is ours. Listen, all the blessings that we have down here, that's just simply a foretaste of all that we're going to inherit in Christ. Every time Jesus did a miracle, that was a foretaste of the glory to come. In other words, every miracle that He did, that was a foretaste of all that we were going to inherit. In other words, when Jesus healed somebody of being sick, that was a foretaste of the day that's coming. There'll be no more sickness. When He raised somebody from the dead, that was a foretaste. That was a foretaste of the day that there'll be no more death. Ooh, think about that. Every Bible study you've ever been a part of, every glorious Bible study, every gospel song, beautiful song that you've sung or heard sung, every glorious sermon that you've ever heard preached, all that stuff is a foretaste of what's ours in glory. Isn't that good? Look at your neighbor and say, you're not supposed to speak right directly to your neighbor right now. We're getting glimpses of glory right now. Glimpses of glory, amen? Let me just close with this illustration. Maybe this will help it come clear. Back on Valentine's Day of 1983, I invited my wife over to my mama's house. And I had, it was Valentine's Day, so I'm sure she's expecting. Where did Diana go? She's not even here. Well, she's heard this once before already. So anyways, I invited her over to the house, and I cooked her a nice meal, you know, at my mama's house, because mama had all the stuff, you know. And so after the meal, I said, honey, I want you to come upstairs. And Susan, I took her to the red room. I took her to your old bedroom. And while we were up there, as soon as we got in, she kind of sat down in the chair, and I got down on one knee, and she starts tearing up because she's not expecting this. And I proposed to her. I said, baby, I want you to be my wife. Would you be my wife? I want you to be my bride. And she said, she was emotional. Wasn't expecting it. You know, I hit her from the blind side there, and she said, yes. I said, give me your finger. I didn't say, give me your finger. I said, give me your hand. And I put a, not a wedding ring, an engagement ring, which basically said to her, everything that I want to give to you and everything that's going to be yours is coming. Jesus is the bridegroom. You are the bride. God has given us a ring in the person of the Holy Spirit. Oh, isn't that good? No wonder Paul closes. What does he say? Praise. What does it say? Read the latter part of verse 14. Somebody read it. Oh, come on. To the praise of His glory. Verse 6, verse 12, verse 14. Paul just busts out in praise. Let me tell you something, folks. You have far more out there ahead of you than you can even begin to imagine. Oh, we can praise the Holy Spirit. We can praise Him because He has saved us. He has sealed us. And He satisfies us. Amen. Look what you have ahead of you. I'm about to have a running spell and I can't run anymore. But you let this passage of Scripture get deep down in your spirit. And you know what? You'll have a running spell too. Let's pray together. Father, I'm not even worthy to be unpacking the Scriptures here today. But I just want to say thank you that I'm one of yours. It blesses me today, Father, to know that I've been saved. And I'm not saved till tomorrow morning. I'm saved for all of eternity because I've been sealed by the pledge and the promise of the Holy Spirit of better things to come. We don't have anything to worry about. The coronavirus doesn't have any hold on us. We belong to you. And Lord, if we're truly going to praise you, we need to praise you with the way we live. Not just with our lips, but with our life. And I pray that the spirit of revival might hit this church during these days. The spirit of revival. Because that's what really gives you praise. That's why you created us, to live for your honor and glory. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts about selling out completely to you. And that these would be the days of Elijah. That these would be the days of your prophet Joel. That these would be the days of revival. And Father, by all means, if there is one here or one listening or one watching today that is not a child of the King, that has never been saved, oh, I pray today, God, that they would bow their head right now and with childlike faith pray a prayer of conviction and ask God to forgive them of their sin. And by faith, look to the cross and believe that the Son of God paid for every sin they've ever committed. And that by faith, through your grace, that they might receive Jesus Christ today as their Lord and Savior by calling on your name. Make it so, Lord. Do what only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We want to hear from you. This is our time of response. And today, you can grab a card over there on that table and fill it out and put it in one of these buckets here. And let us know about your decision. Maybe you've got a prayer request. Maybe you made some other decision. You need to talk to a pastor. Fill that card out, or you can come forward right now as we sing. And by the way, if you're online, there's all kinds of ways to contact us and respond to this message. If you pray, we want to hear from you. Put it in the contact information, the comment section of our Facebook page tomorrow. Just call us, text us, email us. We'll give you all that information. But the key right now is you do what Jesus is telling you to do. Do it right now. For those of you that are here, if you need prayer, I'm here to pray with you. There's something you need that, you just come on. We'll help you. Let's all stand. Andrew, lead us. Amen. If you made a decision in here today, tell me before I leave. Grab one of those cards over there on the table. Give us your name, your address. Check those boxes that apply. If you're listening online, contact us. Email us. Go to our website, secondmilechurch.com. Send me an email, secondmilechurch@gmail.com. Give us a call, whatever you need to do. Let us know about your decision today. We want to rejoice with you and get some stuff in your hand. So thank you for the gifts of the saints. God, would you use it to bring honor and glory to your name. Bless our giving. Thank you for the example that your son set in giving. His name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.